We're called Brandon and James. So my name is Brandon James, and his name is James Clark. So it confuses a lot of people.
You belong if your heart is still beating.
It was a strange year to release an album and a book, because normally those come with tours where you can reach and touch real people.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Polish homophobia slapped with Belgian sanctions, the world's first trans madrasa opens in Bangladesh, and 241 with Brandon and James. Those stories and more this week because you found This Way Out.
Keller.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending November 21st, 2020. Tensions between the European Union and the governments of Poland and Hungary continue to grow. Both Poland's President Andrzej Duda and Hungary's Prime Minister Viktor Orban are digging in their heels in the face of increasing fire for their autocratic crackdowns on human rights, most notably against LGBTQ people. They both stood to benefit from the EU's 1.8 trillion euro plan to fund recovery efforts from the COVID-19 economic downturn. However, they both vetoed it because funding is conditional on respect for the rule of law. Poland's undermining of the rule of law led the Belgian regions of Brussels and Wallonia to close their offices of representation in Warsaw. Reuters reported late this week that a statement from the leaders of both regions says they did so because the Polish government's actions threaten judicial and media independence and are blatantly anti-LGBTQ. It is simply stated that we cannot accept it.
Latvia's constitutional court has approved the right of same-gender couples to parental leave. The Baltic Nations Labor Act had specifically granted that right only to the child's father. The court responded to an appeal from a mother whose female partner was unable to get the usual 10-day parental leave. The judges decided that it was in the best interests of a child to allow a co-parent to provide physical and emotional support to his or her partner and child. They said that the Constitution establishes the government's obligation to protect families of same-gender couples. However, according to Latvian Public Broadcasting, the court stressed in its ruling that the right to exercise parental leave cannot be regarded as a legal framework for same-sex partnerships.
The UK transgender man made famous in the documentary Seahorse has lost his bid to be listed on his baby's birth certificate as either father or parent. Journalist Freddie McConnell became pregnant several weeks after legally transitioning. He took his case to the High Court last year and later to the Court of Appeal, but judges both times ruled that he must be listed as the mother. This week, the UK Supreme Court rebuffed his efforts to appeal those rulings because the case does not raise an arguable point of law. A lower court has decided that current law balances the rights of transgender people with the belief that every child should have a mother and should be able to discover who their mother was. McConnell says that he will appeal to the European Court of Human Rights. Meanwhile, he's on Instagram sharing his efforts to get pregnant again via IVF.
History is being made for the estimated 1.5 million transgender people in Bangladesh, and maybe in the Muslim world. The first of its kind, Dawatul Quran, third gender madrasa, welcomed some 40 transgender students in mid-November. The new madrasa, an Islamic college, is located in the capital city of Dhaka. 150 trans students are eventually expected to enroll for instruction in Islamic teachings and technical education. Trans people have been legally recognized as Hijras in Bangladesh since 2013. However, in his welcoming speech, school founder Abdur Rahman Azad said that society tended to blame trans people for their supposedly undisciplined lifestyle. He reasoned that we as a society are to be blamed. We won't let them attend schools, seminaries, or universities. We won't let them have a decent job. What else would they do? Transgender student Nishi was expelled years ago after teachers discovered her variant gender identity. To her, being back in school was a moment of immense joy. She pointed out that we are not allowed in the mosques. If some of us even enter one, then people often humiliate us. As a human and a Muslim, I wonder why we aren't allowed to be part of society.
A non-binary New Yorker's lawsuit is forcing the state's hand on the issue of driver's license gender bias. The state says change is coming as soon as the computers catch up. The queer advocacy group Lambda Legal helped New York University Law School graduate Sander Saba sue the state for its discriminatory practice of limiting gender markers on driver's licenses to only male or female. The state asked for a dismissal because plans were initiated late last year to permit New Yorkers to receive a driver's license that bears an X gender identification marker through an automated application process. Lambda Legal says it's not dropping the lawsuit, however, so that all non-binary New Yorkers can have accurate state identification that they need without undue delay. A spokesperson for the New York Department of Motor Vehicles said in an email message that the DMV understands the importance of this issue for so many New Yorkers, but cannot comment further as this relates to pending litigation. New York introduced X as a gender designation on state birth certificates in 2019. More than a dozen U.S. states already offer an X gender marker on driver's licenses.
Bans on conversion therapy for minors in the Florida city of Boca Raton and in Palm Beach County were overturned by the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. The 2-1 decision called bans on the debunked cure unconstitutional content-based violations of free speech. Two therapists challenged the laws. They claimed that their typical clients seek counseling to straighten them out, so to speak, due to sincerely held religious beliefs conflicting with homosexuality. The notoriously anti-queer Liberty Council is the plaintiff's legal representative. The ruling granted them a preliminary injunction to block enforcement of the laws while the case continues to trial. Both the 3rd and 9th U.S. Circuit Courts of Appeal have upheld similar bans. The 11th Circuit majority that rejected the bans this week consisted of two judges appointed by Republican President Donald Trump. The dissenting vote came from an appointee of Democratic President Barack Obama.
Lambda Legal's Kevin Jennings called the decision a marked departure from precedent and incredibly dangerous. Conversion therapy for minors is nothing less than child abuse, in his words. It's not certain how attorneys for the two Florida jurisdictions will respond. Shannon Minter of the National Center for Lesbian Rights noted that the ruling is limited to them. He pointed to the dissenting opinion's charge that the majority ruling ignores a mountain of rigorous evidence that conversion therapy puts minors at risk of serious harm. Minter calls the 3-judge panel decision out of step with previous federal appeals court's rulings. Even though those decisions have been split, he thinks it's more likely the two Florida jurisdictions will ask the full bench on the 11th Circuit to rehear the case, which may be a better bet than going directly to a 6-3 conservative majority on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Codependence in Donald Trump's election loss denial fantasy descended on Washington, D.C. on November 14th for a million MAGA march in support of the beleaguered president. They were quite clear about what the Make America Great Again Trump base stands for, with signs reading, "We're coming for blacks and Indians first. Welcome to the New World Order." Other placards proclaimed, "Ban homo marriage." Violence-prone members of the right-wing sexist and homophobic Proud Boys were a visible presence in helmets and bulletproof vests. Rabid YouTube conspiracy theorist Alex Jones was among the rally headliners. He's previously described LGBTQ people as a bunch of pedophiles. Trump acolytes and counter-protesters clashed late in the day. One person was stabbed, and 2 police officers were hurt. At least 20 were arrested on charges, including assault and weapons possession. Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany claimed in Trump inaugural style that the event drew more than 1 million marchers. By most accounts, there were no more than 10,000.
Finally, a rainbow ring circled the earth from top to bottom with the first ever Polar Pride. governments of the British Antarctic Territory in South Georgia and the South Sandwich Islands, formally launched the inaugural event on November 18th. A special rainbow pin distributed to celebrants features an Antarctic penguin for the South Pole and an Arctic polar bear for the North Pole. LGBTQ people burned up social media with icy polar pride greetings, all big smiles and many large rainbow flags. The event purposely coincided with the International Day of LGBTQ plus people in STEM, which encourages diversity in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Dr. Hugh Griffiths is an out biogeographer at the British Antarctic Survey. He said that the event shows the important progress we are making towards greater inclusivity.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending November 21st, 2020. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is recording remotely during the COVID-19 emergency. It's written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazor, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Melanie Keller. Stay healthy.
And I'm John Dyer V. Stay safe.
We just released a new album called Chasing Dreams, and we've shot 10 videos out of the 12 tracks that are there. So we have two more to do.
A talented American solo becomes a pair extraordinaire later in the program. But first, who's really checking to see if you were naughty or nice?
Mrs. Claus and Miss Bates, coming up now on the Rainbow Minute. As a bishop, St. Nicholas was unmarried, but became transformed into a secular Santa Claus in the 1820s, with Mrs. Claus popping into the picture around 1850. She was popularized by Catherine Lee Bates in her 1889 poem, Goody Santa Claus on a Sleigh Ride, printed as a book with illustrations of Mrs. Claus. Before that, Santa worked alone or was helped by elves. But Mrs. Claus was depicted as no stay-at-home wife. She took a feminist stand, demanding credit for her hard work to making Christmas possible, such as cooking to make Santa plump. Also unconventional was her creator, Catherine Lee Bates, who shared a life and home with Catherine Coman, her devoted companion. Bates is best known, however, as writer of the lyrics for America the Beautiful. The Rainbow Minute is produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns and recorded at WRIR in Richmond, Virginia, and read by volunteers like me, Daniela Wyatt.
I'm Michael Cunningham, author of The Hours and By Nightfall. And you're listening to This Way Out, the international radio magazine for all our sexually diverse communities.
You belong if your heart is still beating. Carry on, don't forget to keep breathing. You are strong, you are stronger.
Last time on This Way Out.
I often find myself saying, it's okay, you're going to be just fine. It's going to be great, you know?
In his memoir, Lyrics of My Life, My Journey with Family, HIV, and Reality TV, Brandon James opens up about pretty much everything.
Remember to shut off that little voice in our heads that we all have, that we were all born with for whatever reason, that's constantly casting self-doubt or telling you to eat that cookie and then calling you fat for eating it.
For This Way Out, this is John Dyer V. In this second part of our conversation, we even discussed affordable health care. Of course, we do also get to discussing his music.
e un abismo con dudas de un salto mortal.
You spoke candidly about your HIV status in the book, and I just wondered, what are your thoughts about the current pending insurance battle with the pre-existing conditions?
Well, am I allowed to use swear words? I think it is a great American tragedy if we take away insurance for people with pre-existing conditions. And that, if it happens soon, it could include COVID-19. And how fair is that? People who have long-term effects from the current pandemic, you're going to take away their insurance because they got something that happens once every 100 years. God forbid, not anytime sooner again. I think it's terrible. I believe that people who are upstanding, tax-paying citizens of the country that they live in all deserve equal care, and that healthcare is a right and not a privilege, and that we should all be entitled to it in some form.
Do you consider yourself an activist type person who likes to get out in there and march in the streets?
I certainly did a lot in the beginning of the Black Lives Matter protests. I really personally wanted to know more about the movement, and to my own fault, didn't really understand enough about what Black Lives Matter meant. And I felt like I needed to be there and feel the energy around me to understand exactly where all the pain and anger was coming from. And very quickly, I understood and spent maybe 8 or 9 days in a row in New York City, and took a bunch of footage and turned it into a music video, because I wanted to find a way to place my feelings and put all this this frustration and anger that I now had and had acquired somewhere. So I turned it into an art project with my husband, and it turned out really cool, something that we're really proud of. As far as activism is concerned, I donate a fair amount of time and money when I can to HIV AIDS causes in particular, and things in the LGBTQ community. And I'm no stranger to random acts of kindness and generosity to people who I care about or don't know, but who I think are amazing.
I'm just interested in how other folks are kind of dealing with that major dichotomy, you know?
Yeah, I think there's always more we could do, all of us.
So getting to the music, I did want to comment that I really thought the Brandon and James videos are just, I love the style and I love the ease with which they're done. And, you know, is that going to become more of a series?
Well, we just released a new album on July 31st of this year called Chasing Dreams, and we've shot 10 videos out of
fantastic
the 12 tracks that are there. So we have two more to do, which we'll finish. The first music video that we shot together, we just happened upon this like ridiculous, amazing deal to get a couple of drones and their pilots, and someone donated their 50,000 acre ranch outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. So we have these like epic cliff scenes and stuff with drones. So I kind of became obsessed with filming music videos.
Okay.
And then we travel a lot internationally, pre-COVID at least. So I started organizing shooting music videos in different countries. So we've shot several in Italy, in South Africa, in Portugal. We kind of have a passion for shooting them. I love the process. I love scouting for new scenes and being creative with storylines and things like that. For the most part, we've been in all of them. We're kind of exploring shooting some new videos that don't necessarily center around us, but the story of the song does. It's a very fun process. It can be grueling. It's very early mornings, can be very late nights, and take after take after take after take, and that sort of thing.
Are there other projects or other ideas that you're working on at the same time or that you have in the wings?
Yes, we are putting together sort of initial ideas for a Christmas album, a holiday album for 2021. It was a little ambitious to try and do it this year, although we had a lot of time, it seemed, in the beginning to do it. But somehow in quarantine, I found myself to be very busy.
Well, and that's tricky. How do you market something in 2020? What is a show in 2020, right?
Yeah, it was a strange year to release an album and a book, because normally those come with tours where you can reach and touch real people. But we've been lucky. We did a series of, 15 virtual concerts during quarantine, and then found this lucky part of the country in Maine where we are right now that's quasi-operational, and we've been playing live shows. And we're going to Santa Fe, New Mexico to do the same thing, and then down to Puerto Vallarta. So while we would normally be kind of zigzagging all over the world, we're just doing longer stints in places within the United States at the moment. And it's kind of nice to be in one place and not be in an airplane or an airport for a spell. And I'm not complaining about that at all.
It's a true blessing to be able to do what you want to be doing.
So many of our colleagues of all ages and calibers are not working and have been at home trying to do virtual things. Some of my friends are like legendary string players and opera singers, and they're older in their careers, and some don't even have a website because they didn't need one. That's not where they started. And now so that they're trying to figure out how do you transition from who they are to something that people can relate to online, and that's been a little bit challenging.
It's not easy for any of us, for sure.
And everyone's had to reinvent themselves this year, I would say, to a certain extent.
Yeah, we've been stripped for parts, or it feels that way sometimes. So, is there a website or Facebook page or what have you that you want to put out here and tell the people to go visit and find out what's up next with you?
Sure. Your wonderful audience could follow me and my husband. We kind of come as a pair, even though he's doing other things at the moment. So we're called Brandon and James. So my name is Brandon James, and his name is James Clark. So it confuses a lot of people because my first and last name is his first name. But people can find us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram at Brandon J Music. It's B-R-A-N-D-E-N-J Music. Or just look up Brandon and James. Just remember I'm Brandon with an E. And then our website is brandonjames.com, where they can find all of our stuff. And obviously on YouTube, we have tons of content there too.
Well, I'm happy for you, and I'm proud of you. I'm sure your whole family is thrilled that it's all out there.
Thank you. I was very nervous about putting so many personal details and being vulnerable in front of people I don't know. But I've only been met with really nice compliments about being brave and about being personable and being vulnerable. And I was not expecting everyone to be so emphatic about it. So it's been a pleasant surprise.
Have a great, great day over there in New England.
Thank you very much. I will. It's a beautiful fall day. The trees look amazing.
Thank you again, Brandon James, for talking with us, and continued success.
The pleasure was all mine.
For This Way Out, I'm John Dyer V.
It's coming on Christmas, they're cutting down trees, they're putting up reindeer and singing songs of joy and peace. I wish I had a river
could skate away.
Brandon James' memoir, Lyrics of My Life, My Journey with Family, HIV, and Reality TV, is published by Barnes & Noble. And next time on This Way Out...
Hi, this is Michael Kearns, and you've got a reservation for the radio premiere of my new play, Camping at the Met.
You want to hear this story or not? This love story.
Does it have to do with death?
Don't all love stories?
Does it have anything to do with camp?
Yes, I guess you could say it does have to do with camp.
I got it! You worked for the Frank E. Campbell Funeral Home, where both Judy Garland and Joan Crawford were memorialized. Not at the same time. Now that...
would have been camp! Sorry. I was 30 years old when I walked into that hospital. And while I can't say it was love at first sight, I was immediately smitten by what you would call the joie de vivre of the place. I was looking at one of the deadliest places in America. Me, Candy Striper extraordinaire from Des Moines, Iowa. I saw the joy of life at St. Vincent's and fell in love. A love affair with AIDS.
Tune in for the premiere of Camping at the Met, a World AIDS Day special, next time on This Way Out.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Melanie Keller and John Dye V, produced by Brian DeShazer, from Daniela Wyatt, produced by Judd Proctor and Brian Burns, and from John Dye V. Brandon and James performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Yavanna Foundation, a bequest from the late Christopher David Trentum, and donors John Beaupre and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and all of us at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 3CR Fitzroy Victoria, KPHD and KGIG Modesto, California, WGDR Plainfield and Hardwick, Vermont, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy and stay tuned.